an overview to some extent as to what it means to walk by the Spirit. Galatians 5, verse 16 says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh." And so I think the best I can understand with the hearts of those here, we have the desire to walk by the Spirit. And we understand that if we're not walking by the Spirit, we're going to end up carrying out the desire of the flesh. It's going to be a constant battle, and so we need God's grace to help us. That word translated as walk literally means keep on walking. And so it's the idea of a pattern. This implies something that has already started. And so it's a constant thing. We would understand this to have started at the moment of salvation. So we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. We have the indwelling Holy Spirit. And at that point, we start walking. We walk. There's forward progress. And this is continuing as we have accepted Christ as Savior. We have the indwelling Holy Spirit. We're seeking His guidance to help us to glorify God. This also implies forward progress. So not only is this implying that there's something that's already started, but there's forward progress. So there's something taking place. When you walk, you're going to try to get somewhere, unless you're on a treadmill. And then you're probably not trying to get anywhere other than to burn calories, but you still have a goal in mind. You're trying to do something. Your goal in that sense with a treadmill is you're trying to get exercise. So how do we walk? Where do we get the ability to do this? The world will say, well, you look inside yourself and yourself is going to help you to know how to do this. But is that the best way? The Bible tells us we can't trust our own heart. And so if we're looking to our own heart and how do I walk, how do I please God, then our heart's going to deceive us. Maybe we could go to seminars or conferences to learn how to do this type of thing. How about reading a bunch of books? There's lots of books out there that's going to tell us how to walk by the Spirit in some sense. Paul says that we walk, the way we walk is by the Spirit. This is how we're going to do it. We don't walk in our own strength or in worldly wisdom. But we walk as the Spirit guides us through each moment of each day. Every moment of every day, the Holy Spirit is guiding us. In Galatians 5, Paul used four distinct verbs to designate the Spirit-controlled life of the believer, all of which are roughly equivalent in meaning. And they're going to come up on the screen here. The first one we see in verse 16, we've already read, to walk by the Spirit. The second one is in verse 18, to be led by the Spirit. And then we see the first part of verse 25, to live by the Spirit. And then the second part of verse 25, to walk by the Spirit again. But there's some of you that have the ESV, and I think actually the ESV is a better translation here. It has the idea of keep in step with the Spirit. It's actually a military term. And so that idea of keeping in step, you understand those who have that military background, if you get out of line, you're in big trouble. You have to keep in step with the commanding officer and with everybody else, and you understand what that means. And so here we see all these taking place here as Paul is using them to talk about our relationship with the Holy Spirit, our walking with the Holy Spirit. These verbs point us to the idea of having a purpose and direction with our life. It's not just aimlessly wandering around, but a purpose and direction guided by the Spirit. In Paul's vocabulary, to walk in the Spirit or to be led by the Spirit means to go where the Spirit is going, to listen to His voice, to discern His will, to follow His guidance. And so we do all of those things as the Holy Spirit directs. We want to make sure that we understand once again, the fruit of the Spirit is not something that we can muster up in and of ourselves. This comes as a result of the Holy Spirit working in and through our lives. As the Holy Spirit's at work, we understand He is guiding us and we're in kind of in partnership with Him. But of course, it's Him that's giving us the help and the grace to do what we need. John 15, verses 4 and 5 say this, Jesus speaking, He says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." He goes on and says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. At the same time, we see other places in Scripture where we're commanded to live out each of the different things that are listed as far as the fruit of the Spirit. We're commanded to love our neighbor as ourselves. We're commanded to be kind to other people. And so how do we kind of reconcile that where we're told that the Holy Spirit is the one that's going to work through us? He's going to do the work, but yet we're told to do these things as well. It seems best to conclude that we're to strive to live out each of these characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit, but understand that the way it's going to happen is through the Holy Spirit's working in our lives. We can try to do all these things in our own strength, and nothing's going to happen. We have to understand that the Holy Spirit's going to do it, but that doesn't mean that we sit back and let the Holy Spirit to do everything. So there's kind of, the idea of a partnership that's taking place. And then as we consider the fruit of the Spirit, as we get down to verses 22 and 23, we want to first of all understand fruit here is singular. It's not plural. This is one group, and it's manifested in all these different ways. And so as we understand that, we want to keep that in mind. But we're looking at the fruit of the Spirit. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And so I hope that we all memorize that throughout this year if we haven't memorized it already. And I'm going to help at the end to give you kind of a little trigger as to how we can do that. But one commentator describes this list as a catalog of grace. In a sense, this is what grace looks like. As God is working in our life and grace is coming through, this is what it's going to look like. And so we're talking about here this evening love. As we look at this first characteristic of love, we should understand that this is considered to be an overarching characteristic in which all the other ones flow out of. And so you would say with any of the other ones, if you're gentle, well, that means you're loving. And so in some sense, all of them flow out of the idea of love. We can consider 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. It says this, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast, is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. And so that's probably some good verses to even consider with the idea of living by the Spirit, walking by the Spirit, and that idea of living out love within your life. We do want to understand that the Greek word here is agape. It's not one of the other Greek words that we think of. This is the idea of a love of choice. This is the love that God has for us, his children. This is not a love because of a physical attraction. This is not a love just because we're part of the same family, we're blood related. This is, again, a love of choice. God made the choice to love us. He made the choice to love us to the extent that he gave his son for us. This is the type of love, it could be described as a sacrificial love. What Paul is saying here by including this as part of the list is that those who are redeemed and have the indwelling Holy Spirit are able to love the way God loves. We're able to love the way God loves because we have the indwelling Holy Spirit. He is walking alongside of us. We're able to sacrifice our own desires, our own priorities, and sacrificially serve others. To be able to love like this is a gift from God. We see this in Romans 5 and verse 5 where it says, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. The Holy Spirit has been poured into our hearts. That should be exciting. The idea of that we have the Holy Spirit guiding us each and every day. Just because we have this love as a gift from God does not mean we don't need to seek to grow in this area, though. We don't want to sit back and say, well, I have the Holy Spirit. He's going to help me love everybody else, so I don't have to work on this. I'm good. Because that's just simply not the case. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 9, think about Paul and his relationship with the church in Philippi. This was a group of believers that he very dearly loved, and he says this, "And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment." And so he's saying, you have been extremely loving to me, yet my goal for you, my prayer for you, is that you even grow in your love. And so that is our prayer for one another within our local church here at Garden Heights, is that we would grow in our love for one another. While as his children, we're to love God predominantly throughout Paul's writings, he speaks of our responsibility, though, to love other believers. As we show sacrificial love to those specifically within our local congregation, we give an outward demonstration of our love for God and bring glory to him. And so we want to really show love to one another. Now, this love does not fail, even if the other person is an ornery rascal. When they're annoying you to no end, that isn't an excuse to say, well, you know, I'm not going to love them anymore. This love does not fail even if the other person does not love us back. And there's times where we have that, maybe even within our own church, and let's hope that's not the case, but we still love them. This love does not fail even if the other person is unkind to us. We still love them. And so that's the type of love that the Bible talks about. I like this quote from commentator Timothy George. He says the following in regards for our love for others. He says, when Christians forget this, then two horrible consequences invariably follow. The worship of the church is disrupted as the gifts of the Spirit are placed in competition with the fruit of the Spirit, as happened at Corinth. The witness of the church is damaged as unbelievers stumble and fall over the obvious lack of love within the body of Christ. And so we don't want our witness to be damaged because of our lack of love for one another. And so we seek to love each other. We seek to love each other even when that is hard, because things aren't going well for one reason or another. When somebody has said something hurtful, done something hurtful, we still reach out, we seek to love. And so over the next few weeks, we already memorized Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And so we've hopefully worked on that, but we're going to work on 1 John 2:10, 1 John 3:10-11, 1 John 4:10-12. And John 15, 12 through 13. And you notice I didn't try to quote those. I still have to work on those. And as a family, we're trying to work on these each week. And so we have actually implemented something. And I want to put this out as a challenge for you. At least with Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Every time you eat a piece of fruit, that you're reminded to quote those two verses. Every time throughout this year, and we've kind of discussed as a family, and we say, you know, because we eat a lot of fruit, we've said this verse a lot in the last 2 weeks, and so now we're thinking maybe we just need to switch it to the fighter verse for that week each time. And so when you get up in the morning and you have your breakfast and you have a banana, you say Galatians 5, 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And then when you go to get an apple at lunch, you say Galatians 5, 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And I know there's probably some saying, but I don't eat fruit. That's okay. At dinner time, when you get a blueberry pie, you say Galatians 5, 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. And so I think if you do that, it's been great in our family because it has been a trigger. And we've told the kids you can't have fruit unless you say the verse. All our kids have this memorized because we don't have a lot of sweets in the house, so fruit is the sweet. And so they want that. They love fruit. And so if you say, you know, we don't eat fruit in our house, then whatever the sweet is, whatever it is you really enjoy, use that as a trigger to remember the verse. And for most of us, we have to go into the kitchen to get whatever that is. Maybe put the fighter verse on the refrigerator each week. And so you're at least looking at it. You're at least making attempts. You might not say Sunday morning, hey, I'd like to say this in front of 100 people. But you're at least working on memorizing it yourself. So I want to put that challenge out there that we're working at memorizing Scripture throughout this year because the Spirit doesn't work apart from the Word. And so as we have God's Word hidden in our heart, the Spirit is going to bring that to remembrance throughout the day as we have struggles, as things come up in our life. And so we want to make sure that we have God's Word hidden away in our heart because we don't always have our Bible with us. And we don't always have God's Word there, but if we've hidden it in our heart, we always have that with us. And so that's a challenge for us as we're thinking about walking by the Spirit, as we're thinking about loving one another. These are some things we can keep in mind even over the next month until we get to the next one where we consider joy and what's it look like to have joy, especially within our local body of believers. And so that's the conclusion of the challenge. And so walking by the Spirit, that's our theme for the year. It's much simpler than the goals that we set forth last year. And so I think everybody can remember this, and we're going to bring it up constantly, every month at least. And so I think at the end of the year, I even said to my kids, it'd be really neat because we're going to have the fighter verse of Galatians 5, 22 and 23 in December. It would be neat if the whole congregation could say it in unison. We'll see if we can get there. That would be really neat if we're all to the point that we could say that together. And so that's kind of a goal, and we'll see how that works out. But if we have a fellowship meal and you start eating a piece of fruit, I'm going to say something. So just be fair warned, because I have it memorized. But it didn't take that long. It's not that hard, so I think any of us can do it. We're going to train.